is America Weekend. I'm Mike Bennett. We'll be talking with Anne-Marie Lucas, our animal advocate, in just a moment. But first, even our pets are chronically overweight. A new report has found that 58% of cats are overweight, and dogs aren't far behind at 53%. Pets that are kept at a healthy weight can live much longer than those that aren't. A regular guest each week is Anne-Marie Lucas, formerly of Animal Precinct on Animal Planet, and now our animal advocate right here every week. Good morning, Anne-Marie.
Good morning, Mike.
And, you know, we just had this big event where we had an adoption van come from the North Shore Animal League to offer pets up for adoption. I guess this is something that is not uncommon in your world where these outreach programs are very successful.
Yeah, absolutely. Because there's still a stigma attached to going to a shelter and seeing all of the dogs and cats up for adoption, a lot of people really can't handle that. They feel overwhelmed and they feel sad going to a shelter because they realize that all of these dogs and cats aren't going to find homes. So what shelters and rescue groups have been doing over the past numerous years, they've been doing it for years, but you see more and more now, is investing in these adoption units, these big, large, mobile home-looking units with their logo on the side, and they can bring the pets from the shelter or rescue groups out into the community at events, and they can adopt out more pets that way. And it's a much more pleasant atmosphere. The dogs can get, you know, out and on leashes, and they can walk them around the event, and the cats present well because it's a nice environment for them, and people are happy at these events. So it's a good match when it works.
Honestly, I didn't go near the van because I knew I'd be so tempted to just go home with a dog, and I didn't want to do it without my wife, you know, all this stuff.
Right.
So I had some hesitation, but there were a lot of people that wanted to see the dogs and maybe adopt.
Yeah, absolutely, because, you know, now people, I think they expect these rescue groups and adoption groups to be at most of the events. It doesn't matter what the event is. It might have nothing to do with animals at all. It just might be a fun family day like you were at over the weekend. And it's a great time because most families are together at that time. And they might even have another dog with them if the event allows dogs to be brought in. So it's a great way for your family to get out if you're thinking of adopting a dog. I would discourage if it's just a whim and a, you know, impulse sort of thing. Really take the time to make sure that this is something that you want to do with your family and you have the time and the patience and the, you know, the commitment to these pets, because they are both dogs and cats who they bring out into the community. So I really recommend it, but I also want people to make sure that they understand what they're getting. And, you know, there's been a big push over the past several years to adopt out puppy mill dogs. Everybody by now should know what a puppy mill is. It's a, you know, basically a puppy farm where loads and loads of puppies are bred every year, and the adult dogs are kept in horrendous conditions for their entire lives, just turning out puppy after puppy, and they go for sale in the pet stores. So now that these puppy millers, we call them, have to provide the most basic care for these dogs, you know, there, many states have really cracked down on puppy mills, and they have to provide, go figure, you know, fresh food and water every day, you know, space for them to actually turn around and move. They need, you know, maybe an hour a day outside. They might be required basic medical care. And because these are requirements now, which is crazy, Mike, that you would have to even think that this might have to be told to somebody to do on a regular basis. Because this is happening, these puppy millers are shutting down at record rates because of these new laws and the push to stop the puppy mills from overbreeding and from breeding to begin with. So now we have all of these puppy mill dogs up for adoption, and you'll see a lot of these groups out there with these vans and at events trying to adopt out puppy mill dogs.
Now, the puppy mill dogs come to them how? How do they acquire them?
Well, a lot of times it's an investigation, whether the SPCA or the police department or USDA even goes in and they find a condition that is unacceptable, whether it's neglect, and most of them are neglect, let's be honest. They're all neglected in these facilities. They'll shut it down. Or the puppy miller themselves have realized, well, since I'm not going to make the profit anymore because I actually have to provide basic care for these animals, which they don't even consider them animals. They don't give them a second thought. Now they have to provide. It's costing them more money. So they shut down themselves and they move on and do some other sort of whatever they decide to do to make money, because it really is just a money-making operation for them. It's not that they even care about these dogs or cats or whatever animal might be in this mill. So that's how the rescue groups then come in with the help of law enforcement. When they're shut down, the animals are signed over to the rescue group or the organization, and then they're put up for adoption after they're given basic medical care. A lot of them have, you know, horrible teeth, because these are adult dogs that have been kept in captivity, basically in jail with the most horrendous conditions. conditions for year after year after year. They need a lot of medical attention, and they need a lot of psychological help as well. So, I mean, that's something, if you want to adopt a puppy mill dog, I always caution people to really do your homework and to really understand what you're getting. You're getting a dog or a cat that has been denied the most basic care and love. So you really need patience, you need kindness, and you need understanding of what these dogs have been through.
Do the adoption vans that go out, do they have a policy where if a family takes a dog, let's say, on a whim, and 24 hours later they decide, wow, the dog is barking too much or it's not going to really fit in with the family, can you bring it back? Is there like a lemon law for dogs?
Yeah, there should be. Most responsible shelters and rescue groups always have that policy in their adoption agreement that if it doesn't work out for whatever reason whatsoever, that the dog is returned to them. They don't even want you finding another home for the dog on your own. They want it to go through them so they can vet the people and make sure that it's a good home. You know, listen, we all have good intentions when we adopt pets, but sometimes the certain dog might act completely different when you first saw them, and then you get them home, and it's just something you weren't prepared to handle, or there's an allergy in the home that you didn't even realize. I mean, things happen like that, and it just doesn't work out. And a lot of times it's for other reasons, but we won't even get into that. But you hope that people are responsible and that they really are taking this dog or cat into their home, and they're going to love and give it time to settle into their home and not just get a dog and think it's going to be perfect. You know, right when you bring it home, it's going to do everything that you want it to do, and then some. It just doesn't work out that way. There's it's a lot of time involved and a lot of patience.
Well, have you ever had occasion, because you have so many pets that you've adopted, rescue pets and so on, has any time ever occurred where you had to bring an animal back to the shelter?
No, but it's a great question because I'm dealing with a situation right now. A rescue group adopted out this little dog. He's a little pug mix. He almost looks like a little puggle. He's got some sort of terrier in him. He's tiny. He's like 12 pounds, but he's a little mighty mouse. Like, he's a little tough little guy, full of energy. He was adopted out to this family who had the best of intentions for him. He was a beautiful little dog, really sweet. They got him home, and he was out of control, and they couldn't handle him. So they then kept him in a crate for pretty much 24/7, and he went crazy in the crate. He was on a bad diet, so he was getting a lot of sugar. He was, you know, wound up. He was going crazy. He really was literally going crazy because they kept him confined because they didn't know how to handle him. Long story short, I ended up with him. I was in contact with the rescue group. They asked me to step in as a civilian. I went to the people. They gave me the dog. He is now living with us, and he is full of energy. So he has completely thrown my whole pack into a tizzy, and we're dealing with that. I put him on a good diet, so he's on a really healthy diet, which helped a lot. He's not crazy out of control. You know, when I first got him, he would eat ravenously because he wasn't getting good nutrition. He was just eating. It was like eating candy all day long, the food that they had him on. So now he's on a solid diet, just like everybody else. He eats, he finishes his food, and he's not crazy, you know, for food. I exercise him constantly all day long, and I get the energy out. I mean, so he is a challenge for me, but a challenge that I'm certainly capable of handling, but not everybody is. And that's where you really have to know what you're getting into when you adopt a particular type of dog, a breed of dog, and that's where you really have to talk to the people in the rescue group so you know, do your research as to what kind of dog you're getting, because it could drive you crazy if you're not prepared for it.
The pet tip of the week, tell us about rope.
Yeah, you know, rope is such a great tool to have if you're a pet owner, because my husband and I did this. We have all these cat scratchers around the house. They're made of wooden, like a wooden stance with a base, and they had carpet wrapped around them. So my cats tore into that and ripped it apart. So I said, you know, this is a really good solid piece of wood. Why don't we just go to one of the big box stores and get a big thing of rope and repurpose that cat scratcher? My husband took it downstairs into his workshop. He, you know, wrapped the rope all the way around and secured it, and it's a good solid cat scratcher now, and it's lasted for 2 years now without any issue. It's better than the carpet ever could be, so I haven't had to buy a new cat scratcher. And the other tip for dogs with rope is that I've learned through, you know, trial and error, that a lot of my dogs, when I give them a squeaky toy, you know, those plush toys that we all think are so adorable, they rip through those toys in a matter of 5 minutes. They're gone. So I invested in rope toys. Well, why not take rope that you have, tie 3 knots in it, one in the middle, one on each end, and use that as a rope toy for your dog. It's great to play fetch with. It's great to tug. It's great, you know, for two dogs to play with each other. Rope toys are the underestimated toy, and I have them all over now. And it saves a lot of money because you can make your own rope rope toys. So never underestimate the power of a rope.
I love it when we talk arts and crafts because you have become so creative. Let's just put it that way.
From animal cop to creative animal pet person. It's really funny. I have a lot of time on my hands now because I am with my pets all the time. My new job right now is not only as a pet advocate, but to also make sure that my pack and my pets are well taken care of and I'm able to provide everything that they need for their well-being. So these are things I've been thinking of. And plus, saving money is a great thing for everyone. Why not save as much money as you can?
Absolutely, Anne-Marie. Good advice. Thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Mike. Take care.
With our animal advocate, Anne-Marie Lucas, I'm Mike Bennett, and you're listening to America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network.
Have you ever changed a light bulb? This is Attorney Jay Coleman with the final verdict. Tom is a man of average height and weight. One day, Tom needs to change a light bulb in a ceiling fixture. He can't reach it, so he stands on a chair. In the middle of changing the bulb, the chair breaks, causing Tom to fall and break his back. Now injured and unable to work, Tom sues the company that made the chair. But the manufacturer says the chair was made for sitting in, not standing on, so they shouldn't be liable. Who do you think wins this case? The final verdict after this. So who did you choose? Tom wins the lawsuit because a chair manufacturer should expect that someone will stand on their product sometime during its life. They are liable because the chair wasn't strong enough. And that's the final verdict.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. So why do you worry so much? Well, it's just one of the things that your brain does best. I'll explain how to start controlling it, but first, the physiological science of it. The thinking part of your brain and your more primitive emotional brain work together, and the older part of your brain may actually be stronger. So if you try to stop worrying, the more primitive part of the brain will show you just how strong it is. You'll worry more. Instead, start something new that your brain must think through. Don't just cook comfort food, prepare a new one from a recipe. Don't play your favorite music, listen to something new that your brain must process. What's the chief psychological trick? New things that you think through banish worries. And get this, guys, you learn something too. Got a question? Send me an email at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.